You're listening to the Way to Success Leadership Podcast, where our focus is on developing servant leaders of integrity.
Our vision is to raise up leaders of character who serve
and add value to their spheres of influence.
To produce dynamic leaders, we develop the whole person by cultivating servanthood,
building integrity,
and facilitating personal transformation.
And now, let's begin today's podcast interview.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Way to Success Leadership Podcast. We are so glad to have you listening in. And we are also glad to have Carl Grimes back in the studio with us. If you remember him, he is the chairman of CBI, Confidential Business Intermediaries. And he spoke to us before on teamwork and emotional intelligence in the workplace. We're excited to have him today talking about overcoming adversity. So we're going to get to hear a little bit about his business journey in overcoming adversity and his personal, I believe. So, welcome back, Carl.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, how has adversity played a part in your everyday life, and does it play a part in everyone's everyday life?
Yes, absolutely it does. Adversity is different for all types of people. Everybody has something that is an impediment to them moving ahead in their lives. Sometimes it's emotional things, maybe overcoming a situation from their childhood or a bad marriage or whatever it might be, those emotional things. And then you've got folks who face physical challenges, things that they're born with that they can't overcome, genetic type things. But everybody has adversity. Mm-hmm. If you don't have some, adversity will find you and get in your way. For me personally, I have had to overcome a few things in my business career. One of the funny ones is that when I started a newspaper, I didn't have any journalism training. I never had a course in journalism. Wow. So I had to figure out how to do this thing. And what I found was that when I set my pride aside and was willing to admit that there was an obstacle there, knowing how to do these things and being willing to go to people who were experienced newspaper people and say, will you help me? Hmm. Humble myself before them and ask them to help me. They did. Hmm. And they taught me along the way and supported me and helped me as I learned that. So that was an adversity that we overcame with the help of others. There are certain other things that we've run into in business and other areas that you have physical stumbling blocks. I lost an eye about 10 years ago through an accident. But at that time, I was about 55 years old and had lost an eye all my life. I'd had, you know, the vision to be able to see and do things. It changed things for me. It changed my ability to see around me, to be comfortable in crowds. And I've had to overcome that adversity. Mm-hmm. Again, it requires the help of other people. I've got folks who, when I go someplace, they always sit on my left side because mm-hmm. they know I can't see on that left side. In particular, my life mate, my wife, Kathy. The other thing that it's taught me to do, too, is to not be afraid of sharing my adversity, the things that I've faced, to be able to tell people, yes, I lost an eye. So sometimes when you think I'm looking at you and you're not sure which eye, it begins to bother you. So, yes, I lost an eye, which then allows me to build relationship with other people that helps me be more successful in business. People want to know that you're not perfect and you're not plastic. None of us are. But to be able to tell people, this is what I went through. This is how I overcame that. This is what I do in order to be successful and work in my business every day. It tends to give them, they drop their defenses down when you're willing to open up and not act like you're perfect.
Right.
So they see that you've overcome that adversity. Maybe you can help me overcome my problem too.
Right. That's really neat. And it also just, it creates a culture of honesty within.
Transparency.
Exactly. Would you say that adversity in the workplace is different today as compared to when you were starting out?
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of it has to do with the change in the culture. Back when I first got started many years ago, there were set cultural things that you didn't lie, you didn't do certain things, you just didn't do those. As the culture has kind of hit that slippery slope, and it's been very gradual over a period of years. And a lot of it started with my generation back in the 60s, where we challenged authority on everything. Mm. And authority was a good thing. It was good to know the boundaries that were there and the reason that the boundaries were there, but we challenged those. So we've removed a lot of the boundaries over the years, and what that's done is it's caused confusion. How do I act? What do I do? What is the best way to approach this? Are there really ethics? If there are, where did they come from? Who said this was good and who said this was bad? Mm. So before, we had an acceptance of these are the rules, this is the authority. Now adversity comes because there just don't seem to be the rules that there used to be. People want to make up their own rules. They want everything to change to suit them, mm-hmm. as opposed to them changing to fit the culture. So adversity's got a different face on it today than it did 40 years ago when I got started.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely the trend with our generation. It's the me mentality and wanting to decide everything for yourself. And that, that can definitely present challenges in the workplace. So in today's employment world, what kind of adversity would you say an applicant or a new employee would face?
Learning to work hard.
Yeah.
it's what we have found is in particularly with younger folks coming in, that there are two challenges. One is you're starting in most cases at the bottom.
Right.
You're not going to start at mid and upper level. It's hard for, it seems to be, for young folks to accept that today, that they're coming in a starter position,
mm-hmm.
and that you're going to have to do the grunt work, the grit work, the things that you really don't want to do, but you must do them in order to learn the profession, learn the job, and take the step to the next level. So that has been one of the major difficulties that we have seen. The other one is that the organization is not going to be fitted to you. You're going to fit to the organization. So we have a lot of individualism, which I really admire. That's kind of been the American culture. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm an individual. I take great pride in that. Oh, you mean I have to change to be a part of this culture? Okay, are you willing to make the adjustments to do the things that are necessary to be a part of this new culture? We're finding that doesn't work very well. That's why we see so much mobility among younger folks. There's not a lot of stability in the job place anymore. I don't like this. I'm going to leave.
Exactly.
Which training and working with new folks is very, very difficult on any organization. When you invest the time and energy in someone, it's difficult to see them come in and leave after 6 months or a year.
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost at a counter agreement here. You want to come in and work, but I don't really think you're going to stay over a year. Now we've got a problem.
Right.
I'm looking for that stability. So the new employees coming into a workplace, they're generally having to adjust to the business as it's going now. It's kind of like the example that I like to give people of a merry-go-round. I don't know if you've ever tried to jump on a merry-go-round when it's already going.
Nope.
Be careful. You can break a leg that way because you're trying to join an organization that already has momentum, it already has participants, and you've got to jump on there while it's moving.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to learn how to plug into that. Onboarding by a good company helps make that transition easier. But coming from an academic background into today's workplace seems to be more challenging than it was 40 or 50 years ago because we knew the expectations, and the expectation seems to have changed now.
Mm, right. It's that sense of individualism. I think that's so true.
Yeah.
It's really healthy, I think, to lose a little bit of that and the entitlement that comes along with it when you are assimilating into a new environment and adjusting to a team.
Yeah.
You know, the company's a team and you're not, it's not all about you anymore.
Yeah. You know, if you want to be a rugged individual, you better be an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
You better go start your own company.
Your own company.
And one of the things that we have found is that entrepreneurs are a very, very, very small percentage of the population.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why. Entrepreneurs are people who will risk everything they have on an idea. Now, some folks think, well, I bought a business. That's an entrepreneurial move. No, no, it's not. You've minimized your risk by buying an existing business. when you look at joining a team of an existing business, you are minimizing your risk. Entrepreneurs don't care about risk. They're going to take everything they've got and they're going to say, I believe this idea will work. I'm going to go do it.
Hmm.
How many people do you really know like that?
Right.
There aren't very many. So most people have to learn how to adjust to a team in an existing company or they'll fail. And they'll continue to fail until they learn how to adjust.
Right. Would you consider yourself an entrepreneur?
Yes. I have on a number of occasions risked everything that I had on an idea. And by the grace of God, almost all of them but one have made it and taught me lessons. But I will tell you, the one failure that I had, I learned more from the failure than I did all the successes that
really?
I had. Oh, yes. When you fail, there are many, many lessons to be learned. And one of them is how to deal with brokenness. Most people don't want to deal with the concept of brokenness, but I have a firm belief that brokenness is one of three components of wisdom. If you want to be wise, you better have knowledge, you better have experience, but you better have some brokenness too, because brokenness allows you to learn from those experiences and apply the knowledge.
Right.
Otherwise, you're an arrogant book knowledge person,
yeah.
And that doesn't help anybody. So wisdom is something you learn through a process of brokenness.
Right. On that same topic about brokenness, how important is the ability to commit to overcoming the brokenness, or grit, as we would like to term it, in a person's personal and professional life?
Yeah, that's a great question. And what I found is that everybody commits to overcoming brokenness. But there are really two ways that you can commit to overcome brokenness. Some people try to put their lives back together in a way that they think is best.
Hmm.
And what you find is when they try to do that, they end up with little pieces that are missing in their brokenness. I kind of liken it to a potter's jar. If you take a potter's jar and you throw it down and it breaks into pieces, can you ever put that fully back together by yourself? The answer is no, you can't. What you have to do is start and be willing to be broken enough to be remade into something that is whole again. So, yes, grit and determination is important, but knowing what to do coming out of that period of brokenness is another thing. And just trying to do it yourself doesn't work. But when you depend on people that are outside observers who are you've made yourself accountable to, or in some cases where you make yourself accountable to God, then you're able to work those things together in a way that you come back whole and then just pieced out.
Right. That's kind of like what you were saying in the beginning about the importance of asking for help in that situation as well.
And I've quoted Winston Churchill on another deal, but he also had a speech that he gave at Sandhurst, which was the military academy he attended in England, where Winston Churchill was dead last in his class. Dead last.
Really?
And Sandhurst was training all the great military minds of Great Britain. And Churchill was the worst student they had, but he went on to become a legend in the United Kingdom and in the world for his leadership in a military situation. Sandhurst invited him back to speak at their graduation. Churchill said something that all of us need to remember when you're talking about grit. He delivered a very brief speech. He stood up and he said, "Never, never, 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 never quit." And he sat down.
Wow.
So grit took him to being the leader that took Great Britain through World War II.
Other than having that grit and reaching out for help, do you have a few other key action steps for dealing with those broken situations or overcoming adversity?
Yeah, I touched on one of them, and that is always have people that you've trusted and brought into your inner circle. That's another thing that I've seen today. People are unwilling to become friends. I know that sounds trite, but friends are a rare commodity today. There's a lot of acquaintances, but when you have true friends, you brought them into your life in such a way that emotionally you're tied to them and they're tied to you. They help you through the rough spots. So find a small group, maybe within your own company, that you make yourself accountable to, and they make themselves accountable to you. And you begin to share the things that are really important in your life with them. And when you hit those rough spots, two are better than one.
Right.
You're able to get through those rough spots because these other folks can carry you through them as you are transparent and open and honest, and you're a friend to them and they're a friend to you. So I think the concept of friendship, deep emotional ties, male and female, and I do find that it's better to have men that have male friends and women that have female friends because you're getting very, very undressed emotionally when you do that. So you want to make sure you find people you can trust, people who share the same values that you do, and then you want to give them permission. You have permission to tell me when I'm off base.
Right.
I expect you to do that. And that way, when you reach those rough points, you can say, am I off here? Did I do something wrong? Will you help me correct this? So try to make friends because they will carry you through the tough places.
Right. It's so much easier to get lost in the desperation of a situation or to grasp onto a solution that maybe isn't the best
exactly
when you don't
right.
have anyone
yeah.
to sound it off
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, Carl, I'd love to ask you, how did you get connected with CEO Global?
It's really interesting. I had a call one day from a young man named Matt Giles. Matt asked to meet with me, and I love meeting new people and making new friends. In fact, I saw a quote the other day, I'd rather have new friends than an old mirror. So when Matt asked to meet, I thought, yeah, let's do this. I don't know what you're all about, but let's do it. So I met with Matt. He told me a little bit about the organization, gave me some materials, and I said, Matt, how did you find me? And Matt told me that Jim Hall had given him my name. Well, Jim is the pastor of my church that I belong to. I later met with Jim, and I said, Jim, why did you give my name to CEO Global? He said, who? He didn't remember, but he knew that I had a passion for business and people and for meeting people of other cultures and other locations. And he knew that CEO Global reached across the borders of mm-hmm. the world and brought young people to our doorstep here in the United States where we could interact with them on business, ethics, integrity, those types of things. So it was almost a chance thing. Matt got my name. Jim didn't remember giving it. Matt approached me in the right way and said, here's an opportunity for me to help reach people across the globe with a wow. business message. Captured my attention.
That's really neat. So have you been a mentor for them and spoken at some of their events?
I've spoken at two of the seminars, okay. Different times at the University of Arkansas, and then one at Siloam Springs, okay. Arkansas, where I was actually the speaker for a module. Haven't done the mentoring other than I did meet with a leadership team of the University of Arkansas and met with six young folks from all around the world, Congo and Colombia and Panama and
wow.
Egypt. And so I was able to touch those a lot. In a way that I was able to impart some of the lessons that I've learned,
mm-hmm.
and they in turn want to share those with people back home. It's an exciting thing to be able to do through CEO Global.
It really is, and it's contingent on leaders like yourself who have experience, who are willing to turn around and share with us young folk. I'll include myself in that, but
you
it really
are.
Is. It's great to see business leaders who have a focus.
Yeah, it's an exciting organization. I'm really looking forward to continued involvement.
Yeah. You've given us some great stories today, and I'll just ask you if you have any final stories or pieces of advice on overcoming adversity, and personal or professional.
Years ago, I heard an evangelist. His name was David Ring. David spoke before very, very large crowds, and he had cerebral palsy. And the cerebral palsy was very advanced. And I heard David Ring. I'll never forget his words. He stood up at the microphone with help, and he said, my name, David Ring, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? So what is your problem? Is it cerebral palsy? Is it some other shortcoming? Don't let it stop you. Maybe you'll reach the point where you're an evangelist speaking to 10,000 people who pay attention to you because you've overcome cerebral palsy. Be an overcomer. I think that's the thought I'd leave with you today.
That's great. Thank you so much. Thanks again for coming in, Carl. It's
Absolutely.
Been great.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Way to Success Leadership Podcast. don't forget, we want to hear your questions. So visit CEOGlobalUSA.org to continue the conversation with us. Thanks again for listening, and remember to tune in next week.
You've been listening to the Way to Success Leadership Podcast, where our focus is on developing servant leaders of integrity.